Well, open your Bibles this morning, if you would. Let's give our praise team thanks. Give them thanksgiving for what they have done. Thank you so much. In 2 Peter, or actually 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, in the 17th verse, it says this: "Now the Lord is that Spirit." Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, well, where is the Spirit of the Lord? Well, is He not inside each and every one of us? Is He not upon us today? And is He not among us in the house of the Lord today? Amen? And where the Spirit of the Lord is, notice with me, there is liberty. Emancipation from bondage, and there is freedom. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Liberty. Liberty where the Spirit of the Lord is. That word liberty in the Greek means freedom. It means release. And it also means deliverance. How many of you are happy to say today that you have been set free? Amen. That you have been delivered from the power of darkness, and now you're in the kingdom of God. Amen. What a great rescue. What a great release. What a great deliverance we are partaking of. And then we're to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. Amen. Because there's things that come along in our lives that may try to put a yoke of bondage back into our lives. One thing is legalism. Then there's a number of things that can put a person back into bondage. But aren't you glad He's given you His word? Amen. And that's what Jesus was saying. If you are my disciples, I want you to do this. Continue in my word. Amen. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall do what? It'll set you free. I like to say it this way. The truth will keep you free. You know, many of you know my testimony. I was bound. I was probably demon possessed or oppressed. But Jesus came along and set me free and gave me His word so that I can maintain my freedom. And we all maintain our freedom the same way. Oh, I love it. Don't you? Amen. So we have been set free. And so last Sunday, there was a great demonstration of smiling, of shouting. So you can smile because you're set free. You can shout because you're set free. And then I saw some Holy Ghost dancing. I mean, Pastor Tom was up here cutting a rug, wasn't he? Amen. And that's wonderful. That's good. We need to be doing that on a regular basis. And by the way, you don't have to wait till you get to church to do that. You can cut a rug at home. Somebody says, well, I don't have carpet. That's not the point. Get on God's dance floor. God's dance floor is wherever you're at. And so singing and shouting and dancing because we're free. But also, you and I can serve in this freedom. Serving in this freedom is very important for each and every one of us. You know, Paul addressed the church of Galatia, and he said over there in Galatians 5:13, he said this: "For you, brethren, were called indeed into freedom. Only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh and an opportunity or an excuse for selfishness." But he goes on to say, but through love. Everyone say through love. He says, but through love, you should serve one another. You have been set free to serve. You have been saved so that you can serve. You see, all of us are here for a purpose. He has something for you to do. And that involves your ministry. Every one of you are ministers. And what ministers do is they render assistance. They render help. Is that right or am I wrong? Now, I saw some things recently in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that are very, very closely connected to serving the Lord. Look with me at Romans 12 and verse 1. Now, this is in the NIV version. He says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy." Now, you never start a statement with "therefore" if there wasn't something that went before "therefore." In Romans chapters 1 through Romans chapter 11, you will see great Bible truths about your justification by faith. You will see in the Word of God much about your sanctification, much about who you are and what you have in Christ Jesus. And so he says, because of all those things that I have related to you in this letter, here's what I want you to do. "Therefore, I urge you." The word "urge" is a very strong word. It means "I exhort you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy." In other words, what you've seen me do in your life, what you've seen me do for you, now allow, because of my great mercy for you, for me to flow through you in your service to others. In light of, in view of, how many of you have seen the goodness of God? How many of you have partaken of His great favor and His great grace on your life? In view of that, we must not sit still. In view of that, we must not sit on the sidelines. In view of that, we need to roll up our sleeves and get busy to advance the kingdom of God in the earth today. And I want you to keep that verse up there as I teach it, because we're going to unpack this. We're going to break it down. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." And I like how he said this. This is your true and proper worship. Say this with me. This is my true and this is my proper worship. Now, many people in the church world, they associate worship with singing in the church, with lifting hands in praise, or spending time in prayer. And those are all essential aspects of worship. But the Bible presents a broader view of worship as a way of life in this verse. One of the greatest ways that we can worship God is with our service. By honoring God and being a blessing to our brothers and sisters around us. You know, we talk a lot about in this church about provision, as well as we should. We quote this phrase over and over again through the decades, that we are blessed to be a blessing. Say this with me. I am blessed to be a blessing. But being a blessing is more than financial. Being a blessing is more than you bringing your tithes and your offerings and your supply into the church. Being a blessing also includes serving in the local church as an act of worship. So in response, in view of the mercy of God, we are here to serve Him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, with everything that we have. Woo, glory to God. And we don't serve and worship God out of obligation. We don't do it out of fear. We don't do it out of guilt. No, we serve him out of gratitude. I'll just be truthful with you. I owe him my life. He saved my life. You owe him your life. He saved your life. And because he saved my life, I'm going to serve him all my life. Every day of my life. And so we see then serving is a part of our response to the mercy of God. But also, worship is presenting ourselves to God. It's presenting your body as a living sacrifice. Now, how many of you know in the Old Testament, it involved offering animal sacrifices on the altar to cover their sins? Aren't you glad that we don't have to bring bulls and goats and calves into our auditorium and make a sacrifice? Jesus was our sacrifice. He came and gave his life as a ransom for all. He shed his blood. Amen. And because of his sacrifice, listen, we have the honor. We have the privilege. We have now the joy of surrendering our whole lives to God and offering our bodies as a spiritual sacrifice unto him. So offering and presenting your body to God involves serving others. Serving, it's an act of surrender where we give of our time, our talent, and our energy for God's glory. And it does require sacrifice. It does require sometimes giving up comfort. It requires sometimes giving up convenience or even our personal desires. Listen to me very carefully. A person who plays an instrument in our worship team, a person that gathers the offerings and ushers, people that greet at the door, people that are now serving in the youth, people, listen, that are now serving on the security team watching over your cars. People in the children's ministry. My brothers and sisters, that is much as an act of worship as the preacher preaching in the pulpit. Woo, glory to God. The Greek word for worship there is literally service or ministry. And so what we're seeing in Romans 12, 1, as we break this down, the service is not separate from worship. It is worship. Amen. Whether we're preaching, whether we're cleaning, whether we're singing, whether we're dancing, whether we're shouting, whether we're helping, we are all worshiping. Amen. It's an act of service. Every one of you are in the Lord's army. And there are to be no slouches in the Lord's army. There are to be no lazy soldiers. There are to be nobody in this house depending on others' people to do what God has told you to do and called you to do. I just heard the organ right now. I know I'm preaching real good right now. Woo, glory to God. Anyone who serves faithfully is worshiping. Worship is about the heart. Serving is about the inner man. It's not about position. There's no big eyes and little me's in this church. There's only one big eye, and his name is Jesus. And we have the privilege then of carrying out his commission in the world today. You know, Jesus had some disciples that were just so concerned about being called the greatest in the kingdom of God. Let's look at this in Matthew, or Mark chapter 10, verse 35. It says this, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said to them, What will you that I should do for you? Then they said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, ye know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of? Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto him, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with, withal shall you be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. But it shall not be given to them for whom it is, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much pleased with James and John, because they wanted to be seated at the right hand. They wanted to be the greatest. Now notice in verse 42. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. Verse 43. Let's read verse 43 and verse 44 together. Ready, read. But so it not be among you, but whoever will be great among you shall be your minister. Verse 44, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. Read verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and give his life a ransom for all. Now what this says to us this morning is that greatness and serving go together. Amen. Greatness and serving go together. Amen. Jesus humbled himself and became a servant. Aren't you glad he did? Amen. And because he became a servant and he humbled himself, God exalted him to the highest place in the universe.
Amen. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
And not only did he exalt him, but he gave him the name which is above every name.
That's right.
That in his matchless, glorious name, every knee has got to bow.
Yes.
Of things in heaven and things in earth. And how about this? And devils under the earth.
Yes.
But this came as a result of him fulfilling his mission to serve mankind. In order to do that, he had to humble himself.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
Now, I believe this, that humility is a major key to service.
Amen.
You see, the Word of God says, if we will humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, what will he do? He will exalt us in due time. If you want to be exalted, become a humble servant before the Lord.
Amen.
Get busy in the kingdom of God, and God will take note of that. And I'm telling you what, he will arrange some supernatural things to happen in your life. He will cause heaven and earth, praise God, to be a great, great, great favor in your life. Amen. And so we see this now, that greatness and serving, they go together.
Amen.
You see, some people have kind of a warped mind. You know, you can be a Christian and kind of have a warped mind. I didn't get a lot of amens on that, because you're not claiming that you have a warped mind. Why is that? Because you have the mind of Christ. And you're being renewed right now in the spirit of your mind. And you're not being conformed to this world, but you're being changed. You're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. But there are some people outside of these walls that are Christians, that are, they're kind of warped in their thinking. And some people think, well, you know, the secret of greatness is my connections with other people. The secret of my greatness is having influence. It's having a huge financial portfolio. You know what God is saying to us today? That none of us will ever be great until we learn to serve.
Amen. Amen.
Martin Luther King Jr. said this. He said, everyone can be great.
That's right.
Why? Because anybody can serve.
That's
I like how he said this. He said, you don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't even have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. And he goes on to say, here's what you need. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by the love of God. Woo, glory to God. We got any people in the house today that are excited about serving the Lord? And I'm telling you what, if you're already serving the Lord, you're going to have to stir yourself up to keep yourself out of the mully grubs. What's the mully grubs? Being down in the dumps. Well, I'm serving the Lord. No one else is serving along with me and blah, 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 blah. No, you just do what God's called you to do. And instead of criticizing others, pray for them. Because criticism will never change a person, but revelation will. When the eyes of their hearts are being enlightened, glory to God, they will see what they need to see. They will know what they need to know. Man, that's good preaching. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. But how many of you know when you're serving the Lord, you got to pull yourself up sometimes? Because you know what? It's not every day that you feel like serving God. I'll guarantee you, the people out in the parking lot right now, they may not feel like serving God. Yeah. You know, we were just down in Tulsa with that bad weather. There were people literally outside with 7 degrees below zero managing the traffic. Oh, man, I'm sure they didn't have a lot of feelings. Yeah. Now, they had feelings, all right, but those feelings were like ice cold feelings. Yeah. And here's my point. You see, we walk by faith.
Yes, amen.
And not by sight. When we make a commitment to the Lord to serve Him, we need to keep our words. You know, we talk about being a doer of God's word. Thank God God's word is good. But how about us being a doer of our words?
Amen.
And here's where it's needed to stir yourself up. You see, the Bible says that we are to serve the Lord with sadness. No, 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 no. We're to serve the Lord with gladness. And when you come into this house, you lifting up your hands, you worshiping the Lord is serving God. And our attitude ought to be, every time the doors are open, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen? Yes. And it's the same with your service. Whatever you're doing, maintain the joy of serving. Serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. Another way of saying that is this, serve the Lord joyfully.
Amen.
Now, you know what the Bible says about joy, don't you? Yeah. It says that the joy of the Lord is what? It is your strength. Now, here's what you can expect. When you stir yourself up and you serve the Lord with gladness, you can expect His strength. You can expect His spirit. You can expect His grace to come upon you and enable you to even be a greater blessing than you've already been. Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen, Pastor. This is good preaching. In Matthew 20:28 in the NLT, it says, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give His life as a ransom for many. Let me quote the Living Bible. It says this, your attitude must be like my own. For I did not come to be served, but I came to serve. Amen. Listen to me. Service for a Christian is not optional. A non-ministering Christian is a contradiction. The Christian who says, whose needs can I meet? Who can I help? Who can I serve? That's in the will of God. But if you're still in this attitude, well, who's going to meet my needs? If you're still in that stage, you need to grow up. Now, the mature Christian says, whose needs can I meet? Because you are know that you have the life of God in you. And you're called to live in fullness every day. Amen? Giving life away. Arnold Glasgow said this. I love this quote. He said, "The true measure of a man is not the number of servants he has, but the number of people he serves." In Galatians 1:15, and this is the Good News translation, and I'm not sure that we have that. I guess we do. Let's read it together. "But God in his grace chose me even before..." Stop there. God chose you.
Amen.
Even before you were born. "And he called me to serve him." Woo, glory to God. He's called you to serve him. What a joy. What an honor that you're called. That you are chosen. From before the foundation of the earth, you have been chosen. But not only that, you're gifted. Every one of you are gifted for service. God has placed giftings on the inside of every one of you.
Amen.
Say with me, I'm gifted to serve the Lord. I'm called and I am chosen. And I am so honored. Glory to God. You know, there's a lot of things that are moving right now within the church. A lot of things in the background that you don't see that I see on a daily basis. A lot of things that need to be done. A lot of adjustments that need to take place. A lot of things that need to happen in our building. Did you know that the building in which you sit is a 36,000 square foot building? And in a 36,000 square foot building, there are things that need to be kept up. There are things that need to be changed. There are things that need to be polished. Amen? And we spend about $82,000 a year on our building and maintenance. And one of the things, and one of my goals here, and I'll just tell you right now, one of our goals is, instead of having someone clean the church for us, we need to learn to clean the church ourselves.
Amen. Pretty good.
Amen.
And another one of our goals is to remove our landscaping, which is $2,400 a month. Folks, that adds up. Now, we can't do that immediately, but we are on it. And we are believing God for people in this church to become volunteers in the day of his power.
Yeah.
Amen. And so we're on it. I've looked at a lot of different areas that we can cut. I've been working diligently on it. And by the grace of God, he's meeting us right where we are.
Amen. Praise God.
How many of you are believing with me?
Amen.
That's half of you. Let me try this section over here. How many of you are believing God with me?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I've had to make some cuts. I've cut my salary the last 2 or 3 years. I've had to do that. But I don't do that regretfully. I do that cheerfully as unto the Lord.
Amen.
We have literally dipped into our retirement account. Over the years, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And we just do it with a great heart and do it cheerfully. But we're believing for a better day.
Yes.
We're believing for increase in the house.
Yes.
We're believing for people to step up and to stand up and say, "I'm here. I'm with you. I'm serving God along with you." Amen. Praise the Lord. We do not want to be caught in a situation in this house and in this church. We do not want to be caught unawares. We want to make sure that we're diligently doing what we know to do in our hearts.
Amen.
Glory to God. And I didn't intend to share all of that, but I'm not going to take it back. I've been around Pastor Hagin all week long. I'm going to tell you, I ain't taking any of it back. Glory to God.
Glory.
Now notice with me in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. He said, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Another translation says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well. Amen. The Living Bible says, God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other. Amen. So God didn't give you talents for you to spend it and for you to use it on yourself. But he placed on the inside of you giftings and talents to serve other people. That's called ministry. That is called service. And quite frankly, your church, not my church, your church, you need to take ownership of your church. Say to me, this is my church. This is my house. This is God's house. And so your church family needs your service. In 1 Corinthians 12:27 in the Passion Translation, it says, you are the body of the Anointed One, and each of you is a unique and a vital part of it. Living Bible says this, all of you together are the one body of Christ, and each of you is separate and a necessary part of it. Amen?
Amen.
You know, it's good to have all of your parts in your natural body working well. Yes. In it?
Yes.
I mean, in order for your natural body to be working well, in order for you to be healthy, everything's got to function properly.
Yeah.
You know, we're in a texting generation. A lot of people don't make phone calls anymore. But what if you got a text from your heart? How about this? What if you got a text from your liver? And they said, you know what? I'm just tired. I don't feel like functioning this year. I just want to be fed. You know what you'd say? What kind of liver are you? What kind of heart are you? Get back to work. You see, a non-functioning body part is not doing its job. It's not pulling its weight. It's not serving its function. And just as your body needs to function properly, so it is in the local church. We're all needed. We all have a supply. And the strength of Heart of the Bay Christian Center is those who serve faithfully in the ministry of helps.
Amen.
And I want to say thank you.
Amen.
And I want to thank God for all of our staff that has served so faithfully throughout the years.
Amen.
They've sacrificed. They've sacrificed along with us. And don't misunderstand me. We're coming up and we're doing some things that need to be done. But that doesn't mean the people haven't done their part. They've done the best that they could with what they had to work with. And a lot of times, money has been the difficulty. Not having enough money to do the things that we know to do. Brenda and I don't have heat. We do not have air conditioning in our office. We haven't had it for years. And I just heard the violins. So on a cold day, when I want to have a meeting, I go into Jane's office. We don't have heat. We don't have air in the green room. We don't have heat. And we don't have air in classroom one and classroom two. Now, folks, there's no condemnation. I'm not pointing fingers at you. Because money has been the issue. So we're believing God.
Amen. Amen. Pastor.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Help a preacher out.
Yes.
We're coming up.
Yes, we are.
And we're coming out.
Amen.
So understand this, I have high respect for everyone on our pastoral staff and ministry staff that has sown of their time and their talents, not just for years, but for decades. I honor each and every one of them. And they have done their job. It's just that now we understand it's time to do the things that need to be done. And that's why we set budgets. That's why we set goals. And how many of you are believing God with us today? Somebody say, that's good preach. You know, you may not have wanted to hear this today.
Oh, it's good.
But you're hearing it anyway. It's something that we need to hear. It's something that we all need to pull together and believe God. Amen?
Amen.
Mother Teresa said this. She said, you can do what I cannot do. You know, Pastor Tom can do what I can't do.
Amen.
I can do some things that he can't do.
Amen.
Think about it. There's people all throughout this whole congregation. They can do what you cannot do. But you can do what they can't do. And I like what she said. But together. Come on. Together. Come on. Together. We can do. We can do great things. Are you getting this today? I know this is meat, but you can handle it. You'll get some salad and some dessert later, but this is good, strong meat. And strong meat belongs to all of us, including Pastor Mark. I'm telling you what, I go to meetings and listen to Brother Keith Moore, and sometimes when I listen to Brother Keith Moore, I don't even feel like I'm saved anymore. You start listening to, about obedience and different things like that? No, I don't mean that I don't feel like I'm saved, but I just feel like I need to make some adjustments. You ever been there? You ever been in a message or in a series where, whoa, glory to God, I'm not there. I need to make some adjustments, but by the grace of God, I'm getting there. Glory to God. Say it with me.
We're coming up.
I'm coming up. Point to your neighbor and say, are you coming up? Point to your other neighbor and say, are you coming up? Now lift up your hands and say, we're all coming up. Woo, glory to God. Amen. We're moving on up. And we're not talking about the east side. We're moving on up. Amen. Thank God George Jefferson moved on up. But when I say we're moving up, we're moving on. We're moving on from strength to strength, from faith to faith, and from glory to glory. Folks, we do not want to drop the ball. We have been given much. And folks, to whom much is given, there's much required. Amen. Again, Mother Teresa said this, you can do what I cannot do, but I can do what you can't do. But together, together, in unity, in harmony, all pulling together, we can do what kind of things? We can do great things. Listen to this statement. Nothing of significance was ever achieved through an individual acting alone. This service today, this would be a major flop if it weren't for the people serving in the various areas right now. It's a together thing. But let's say it this way. It's a God thing. It's God's plan. It's God's will. Glory to God. So nothing of significance was ever achieved by an individual acting alone. Look below the surface and you will find that all seemingly solo acts are really team efforts. You've all heard of Albert Einstein, right? He was the scientist who revolutionized the world with his theory of relativity. He didn't work in a vacuum. Of the debt he owed to others for his work, he remarked this. He said, "Many times a day, I realize how much my own outer and inner life is built upon the labors of my fellow man, both living and dead, and how earnestly I must exert myself in order to give in return as much as I have been given." Brenda and I, because of our DNA in our connection with Dad Hagen, we stand on the shoulders of giants. I was able to have fellowship with Jim Caseman this past week. It was wonderful. I don't know if you realize it, but Jim Caseman was responsible for over 3 million of Brother Hagen's books getting into Russia. The first 2 million they literally smuggled. And after the Iron Curtain came down, another million came in. In 1975, he was the first graduating class of Rhema. I had long hair. I had just gotten out of drugs. And I sat under his ministry and was spoon-fed the word of faith. I stand on the shoulders of men like Jim Caseman. Our church stands on the shoulders of great men and great women of God. Some who are no longer on this earth, but I'm looking forward to a glorious grand reunion in heaven. And as Brenda and I look back, and as Pastor Tom and Kimberly and Pastor Nancy look back, you know, when you've been in the same place for 42, almost 43 years, we are well aware of the fact that we didn't get where we are alone. So as I look back at the decades of people that are no longer with us, some in heaven, some still on earth, as I look back and I say, thank you, Lord, for those men and women that have brought their supply. And as I look in this auditorium today, I say, thank you, Lord, for these men and these women that continuously bring their supply year after year, decade after decade. Oh, my brothers and sisters, yes, your church. Your church.
Our church, that's right. Our church.
It needs you. If Jesus tarries, Brenda and I will go on to be with the Lord. We believe that will be a number of years. We don't have plans of leaving anytime soon. But may the foundation that has been laid remain stable. May it remain secure. You don't really have any idea of all the Lord has done in this place. And all of the plans that He has for our future. Woo, glory to God. The future, it is bright. Now lastly, here's what I have in my heart. Lastly, but not least, your serving will be rewarded. Amen. Let me just back up a moment. How many of you know that life is short? And I say this, I believe by the unction of the Holy Spirit, some of you need to stop procrastinating.
Come on.
Some of you need to stop waiting for a perfect time to serve. Now is your time.
Yeah.
Say it with me. I will be rewarded. And I got this twofold. You'll be rewarded both here, and you will be rewarded for eternity. Here's what Jesus said in John 12:26. This is the ESV version. He said, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. Read the rest of that with me. If anyone serves me, the Lord will honor him. In John 12:26, in the Passion Translation, it says this. If you want to be my disciple, follow me and you'll go where I'm going. And if you truly follow me as my disciple, the Father will shower his favor upon your life. So there's rewards here. A faithful man shall abound with the blessings of God. Raise a right hand toward heaven and say, I am that faithful person. And I am believing that I shall abound, that I shall increase, and that I shall flourish in the house of the Lord. And I shall abound, and I shall increase in the blessings of the Lord. Do you receive that?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That is something that should be declared on a regular basis. Amen. So here, but not only that, for eternity. How many of you know God's planning a big party in heaven? You know, we just got done with the Super Bowl, and aren't you glad the Chiefs didn't win? Oh, I saw somebody with a Chiefs hat back there. Super Bowl parties, you know, it's a big deal. Hot dogs and nachos and burgers and non-alcoholic beer. But God's planning a party in heaven. And this party is for eternity. It's going to last a long time.
Glory to God.
And the reward is going to last forever. And one of the rewards you're going to get in heaven is for your service on earth. And not only that, but I believe God will entrust us with greater responsibility. In Matthew 25:23, I ask Pastor Tom to come. Amen. Let's read it from the NIV, Matthew 25 and verse 23. Ready, read. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Woo, glory to God. Now notice with me, he didn't say, well. He didn't say undone. He said, well done. Amen. Do you want to hear well done?
Amen.
I know you do. Let's all stand up and thank God for what we've heard today. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us the ability to serve you, to worship you with the gifts that you've placed on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. That is a pastoral message, incidentally.
Oh, it's a good one. Woo, che bellezza, tondo ribego cimoreta. Oh, I just kept hearing this. Some people are saying, but tende me sombreta. My schedule is just too full. I'm just too weary, and I'm just too tired. I'm too stretched to give any more in the service of the Lord. And I heard the Spirit of God saying this: if you're weary in serving, you're doing it wrong. If you think you don't have anything to give, you're looking at the wrong place. Don't rely upon your own ability or your own strength. For my word says, serve the Lord with joy and gladness.
Yes. Yes.
When you tap into what you're supposed to be doing in the kingdom of God, and when you serve me with all of your heart, and you serve me with joy, there will be strength. You will sabikoto. Some of you that think you're just too tired to step in and roll up your sleeves and serve, if you will be obedient and begin to serve me, there's going to be a surge of strength that you haven't yet experienced. For the joy will come in serving.
Yeah.
And what does the joy produce? Strength.
Yes.
Hallelujah. For that's a bit, that's for somebody. That's for somebody. Oh,
and I believe the way that that can be done is we can pray a corporate prayer right now.
Yes, yes.
You don't need to raise your hands.
No.
You know, all of us have been there.
Yeah.
All of us have been there. But I believe what the Holy Spirit is saying, that there is an infusion of divine strength.
Yes, there is. Strength
for you
serve.
Today.
Strength
so
serve.
Let's all raise up our hands right now. Pastor Tom, pray over that right now.
Strength to serve.
Oh, Rabakashtata.
Time to soar, Lord, in Jesus. Time for this congregation to soar in the Lord.
Yes.
To put their head to the plow and not give up, praise the Lord, but to run with a vision, to be strengthened with all mind in the inner man. It's time, Father, for those that have been sitting on the sideline to rise up and to run and not grow weary, praise the Lord. And thank you, Father, that you are the wind in our sails, the power of the Holy Ghost upon this congregation will arise like never before.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. We're anointed for this generation to serve like never before. We thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Lifting up the name.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
The anointing of God.
Ha ha ha. Oh, raise your hands and say, let's say this together. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I have seen in your word today that my service unto you and in the local church is an act of worship. So I recommit my life. I recommit my service unto you. Help me, Lord, to be connected and stay connected with my local church. In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, we went to a luncheon the other day, and this comes up in my spirit about how when you give your life in the area of service, it impacts other people's lives. It's part of the fruit of being a servant. I was able to see Jim Caseman's daughter, Desi, at this luncheon that we were at. And I said, how's my little Sunday school girl? That was my first act of service. Jim invited me to teach his daughters that were about this high Sunday school lessons. And when I look back and I see all the Lord has done, thank God I had a part in that. And you have a part in people's lives as you offer your sacrifice of service to the Lord. Amen. Well, I'm clear in my spirit. I'm happy in my heart. I'll be honest with you. I wrestled whether I should preach this message or not. You know, it's a whole lot easier to come up here and preach on prosperity and healing and shouting and dancing. We need all that. But how many of you know we need some spinach sometimes?